Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. Today, we're meeting with Chad Kunkel and Chris DiMarchi, owners to the franchise Fish Window Cleaning. And since 1978, Fish Window Cleaning has been keeping windows clean. Fish Window Cleaning is now the world's largest window cleaning company, and Fish provides service to more than 100,000 commercial and residential customers nationwide. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews. Our first segment today is being brought to you by Franchise Interviews LLC, and Franchise Interviews gives you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show on Blog Talk Radio, where each week you get to hear new interviews with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and franchise attorneys. And our monthly franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And Don, welcome back to another edition of Franchise Interviews. How are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing fine, Marty. How about yourself?
Good, good. How was your Easter?
Oh, it was great. A lot of fun.
I
look forward to these holidays now with the kids having
fun.
That must
be great.
Yeah, we had them on three different Easter egg hunts.
Did you really?
Over the span of a couple of days, yeah. We had a local, firehouse had one outside for the kids.
And oh, that's fantastic.
Put on by the town, and then we had one at our house, at their grandmother's house. So.
Oh, geez. And what's in these Easter eggs? Is it money or candy? Or I guess I got to get up to date on these things.
Yeah, all those things.
Sometimes
they're empty, and they hand it in to get something, or you put coins in
right there.
And you know, candy, a couple jelly beans, stuff like that.
Oh, that's fantastic. Do they like candy, Don? Are they big candy eaters yet?
Oh,
or?
Yeah.
They are.
That's
something.
That's our selling tool to have them finish their meal and vegetables at night. They'll get like a couple bites of chocolate.
Yeah, well, you're at that great time, though. It's funny, you know, I feel like I get to live these holidays through you, you know, just kind of preparing, you know, hearing about Christmas and Halloween and all that other stuff. And I guess, you know, this should be an exciting year for you as well as they get a little older. You know, they just appreciate this stuff even more, you know.
Right. Well, next up is their birthday in a couple of months.
Oh, there you go.
That for a couple months now.
And they know when their birthday is at this point, don't they? I guess I imagine they know that.
Yeah.
That's something.
Yeah, we've been, you know, teaching them that the month
and
day.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, our last show, Don, we got to meet with Eric Kurjan, franchise owner to Six Disciplines. And in a time when many businesses are looking to cut costs and downsize teams, Eric, who's a franchise owner, is getting small business leaders to bring him into their team and work to align their mission and their vision. Interesting franchise opportunity. Any thoughts on last week?
Yeah, I think, you know, put it this way. I plan on using this type of service soon for my company.
Right.
I just feel it's a service to really maximize your potential, get to the next level, because it's just fact that business owners are going to become complacent, and sometimes you just need kind of a, you know, a kick in the rear end.
That's a good way to put it.
And be reminded of everything you have to do to, you know, to stay on that level and to grow and to have goals and so forth.
That's an interesting thought. Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of times, I mean, we've had several types of business coach franchises on the show up to this point. This is an interesting one. You know, I think they kind of go a little bit beyond business coaching, Don, you know, and they get into the whole, I guess, they're kind of like broader than training. I think what they do is, you know, when I, because this is the second time we've had Six Disciplines on the show, I think that they give people back their passion for their job. You know, I mean, that's what I got out of it after listening to Six Disciplines. So I think it goes actually beyond business coaching.
Right.
But we've seen a lot of growth in this type of industry, you know, over the last several years, you know, since we've been doing this. So
Six Disciplines is even a book, right?
It's even a book, which I actually read. It's fantastic, you know. It's just definitely up there with you know, the top business books, and I think it's really a must-read for anyone considering going into their own business. You know, it's tough being a small business owner, isn't it? I mean, you and I both know that. You
right.
know, it's you know, a lot of times you're wearing many hats, and I think what they do as well is they teach you better habits, for a job. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, as we've referenced Michael Gerber on many occasions, you know, we get stuck working in our business and not on the business, you know, and so I think Six Disciplines is great for really any type of small business, and also a very interesting franchise. I think we're going to see a lot of growth from them
right.
over the next several years, so just great concept. So it was nice to have Eric on the show.
Definitely.
What do we got going on today, Don, over the next week?
Today, like you mentioned earlier, Fish Window Cleaning franchise,
great.
Very successful. Chad Kunkel and Chris DiMarchi will be coming on the show, and there are a couple of franchisees who are doing quite well.
You've met them before, haven't you?
Yeah, just recently down at the IFA show in Orlando.
Right, that's fantastic. This is an interesting franchise opportunity for us, Don. You know, I don't think we've ever had, you kind of forget after a while, we've been doing the show for
right.
almost 2 years now, but I don't think we've had this type of franchise on the show at this point. You know, so I'm really excited to have Chad and Chris on the show today.
Hear about everything they went through, definitely. Next week, I'm going to be meeting with my friend Glenn Franson from Massage Heights. Excited about this show.
That's great, isn't it? It's you know, it was interesting as I started studying this industry. You know, we kind of always do a little background, you know, information on the franchises we're going to be interviewing. And this is an interesting industry, isn't it? There's a lot of interesting things going on.
One real interesting thing here, it says, according to the U.S. Department of Labor, Bureau of Labor Statistics, between 2004 and 2014, the demand for licensed massage therapists will increase 18% to 26%.
I believe that. You know, there's this school that I used to teach at, Don, right next door, there was a massage therapy school, you know, and that parking lot was packed. I mean, a lot of people interested in getting into that industry, you know, so I believe that.
And my company, Diamond Financial Franchise Funding, we've been funding a few of these massage franchises, and they're growing so much because it's, you know, it's more now addressing health and wellness, not just a luxury. It says,
right.
In recent years, therapeutic massage has become more popular than ever before. Once this ancient art was considered to be a luxury, but now in this new age of health and wellness, many more people are recognizing the benefits of massage to enhance their lifestyle. So
absolutely, yeah. And this is, you know, something we mentioned last week. Healthcare providers and medical insurance companies are beginning for the first time to recognize massage therapy as a legitimate treatment and preventative measures for several types of injuries and illnesses alike. That could change the whole industry, can't it? I mean, if you get the medical insurance companies in there.
Oh, yeah, big time. So they seem like they're positioned well, so we'll be talking to Glenn next week. We look forward to that. The week after that, April 10th, actually, that's the week of the franchise show.
That's right, yeah.
So
we're
going to
be there, you know, so that's going to be exciting. You know, it comes around so fast, doesn't it?
Right. That's April 11th to the 13th, Friday, Saturday, Sunday is that show at the Washington Convention Center.
That's right. You'll be there a day early, I guess.
Right. Setting up. That's a lot of fun.
That's great. That's good. That's like, you know, that must be a long week for you as well. I mean, I think it seems like it's fun for you being at the show, you know, but it seems, I imagine on Sunday, you know, by Sunday night, you're just, you know, coming home back to New Jersey.
Yeah, no doubt. It's hard work.
It's a long week for you.
You see friends and, you know, suppliers and a lot of your franchise or clients.
Right.
And people want any information on the show, might as well give it to them now.
Sure.
It's ifeinfo.com. And again, that's April 11th to the 13th at the Washington Convention Center. It's the 17th Annual International Franchise Expo, one of the biggest shows of the whole year.
It is. That's great. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Also, the Franchise and Business Opportunities Expo has a show coming up, too. That's April 5th and 6th out of Detroit.
Those shows are interesting, too, aren't they, Don? They're a little, I guess you want to say, on a smaller scale than the IFE show. Again, the IFE, you know, there's people really coming from all over the world, actually flying into Washington to meet some of these franchise opportunities. I mean, to me, they call it, I think we reference it, the Super Bowl of franchising. I mean, this is it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. There are people from all over coming, whereas these other shows, there's still franchisors around the country. It's more regional, but nice, you know, nice solid shows. People interested in this Detroit show, April 5th and 6th, and go to usfranchiseexpos.com.
That's right.
So that's the story on some shows coming up.
That's great. I had, this is an article my mom actually sent me last week, Don. I know you're familiar with the retailer Costco.
Yes.
Which I guess they're big in the Northeast.
Right, we shop there, yeah.
Oh, do you really? Yeah, there's a magazine, it's called, I don't know if you've ever grabbed it, it's called the Costco Connection.
Yeah.
And on the front cover, they wrote an article called The Pursuit of Happiness, with the question, is franchising right for you? And I thought it was a fantastic article. They actually quoted a lot of franchisees, and I just wanted to kind of just read a couple of them. Here's a quote. It says, while by no means risk-free, franchising can offer a shortcut to business success. And that word shortcut, that kind of stood out for me, Don. Remember when we had George Native on the show, and
right.
he mentioned that franchising gives you the ability to start on third base.
Right.
I've never heard that example or that analogy before, but it makes a lot of sense, and it is certainly a shortcut to business success. Again, it's not for everybody, but just a couple things in the article. Here's some quotes. It says, when my job coach first suggested franchising, I laughed at him. I didn't know then that franchising is responsible for nearly one-third of our nation's gross domestic product, and that's by Geraldine Smythe of a franchise we're familiar with. It's called Abracadoodle.
Right.
So that was an interesting quote. Here's another quote from Michael Maritzen of Fetch Pet Care. Says, starting a business from scratch is so much work. True. I feel like the poster child for successful franchising, but I spent lots of time planning for this. So that's interesting. You know, it sounds like he did his homework. Here is another quote from franchisees. Think things through carefully. Owning your own business is a huge lifestyle change. Even our dogs had to adjust. And this is from Edna and Brent Buxton. It doesn't say what franchise they actually joined. I think it was a fitness franchise. And here's another quote from Fitness Together by Rick Sikorsky. It says, I look for franchisees who are coachable. And that's so important too, isn't it? You know, is
right.
you have to make sure that people are trainable and don't try to reinvent the wheel. I don't want robots or puppets, but I have to work with people who have their egos and their hip pocket and are willing to learn. And that's so important as well, too, you know. And it was interesting. It was actually, they interviewed, you remember Nancy Lenard, franchise attorney.
Right.
So I just thought it was a great article. Again, it's called The Pursuit of Happiness. The, I guess you can kind of do a Google search. It's called The Costco Connection. And it was such an informative article on franchising. I think they did a great job. It's too long to kind of read the whole article, but thanks, Mom, for sending that article. That was a good one. You know, we see a lot of these articles, and just very interesting.
That is very interesting.
Yeah, I know you had some interesting stuff this week as well.
Yeah, here's something. I guess keeping it in the family. Just like I got this from my brother-in-law.
There you go.
Yeah, this was from Business Week, and it's. It says, is it time to buy a franchise?
Mm-hmm.
When the economy slumps, franchising tends to become more popular. Here's what to know about the industry before buying in. It's by John Tuzzi. It says, Marty, think buying a franchise means you get the benefits of owning a business without the risk of business failure? Think again. Without proper due diligence, franchisees can find themselves stuck in bad business models, chained to unfavorable contracts, or victims of fraud. Although the industry's reputation has improved in recent years, franchising isn't necessarily safer than starting a new business. Now, reading this article, I disagree, you know, with some of this, but it's an article that really goes over some offers some nice practical advice.
Yeah, I agree with that, Don. You know, I mean, it is interesting. I mean, again, you and I, the show is very pro-franchising, but it's good to talk about, you know, the good and the bad as well. You know, I think one of the things I got from that paragraph that you read, you know, is the whole due diligence process as well. I think, you know, you and I emphasize every show, you know, how much work this actually is. You know, I mean, if you decide you want to buy a franchise and you decide what franchise you're going to buy in like a week or 2 weeks period of time, that's just not enough time. You know, we've gone as far as comparing this whole thing to a marriage. And it's a lot of homework, and, you know, a lot of the experts we've had on the show over the last year and a half, you know, we'll tell you that. Some even go as far as the woman who wrote the book, the Franchise Times book, I think she said you should call like 60 franchisees
right.
Within a system. You know, to make sure you're getting a true response, you know. So
I talk to people every day who take up to a year or two before they choose a franchise.
I totally agree. You know, so this is a lot of work. I mean, this isn't something that you make a decision overnight, and you want to make sure that there's a match. That's interesting.
It says economic slumps tend to boost the industry as unemployed workers seek to start businesses with the perceived safety of established systems.
Right.
The International Franchise Association, the industry's largest trade group, estimates there are about 3,000 franchise systems in the U.S. today. The concepts range well beyond fast food, with franchises in industries as diverse as pet care and tutoring services. In 2005, franchise businesses employed 11 million people, more than 8% of private sector workers, and generated 4.4% of U.S. economic output. according to a report by PricewaterhouseCoopers commissioned by the IFA.
Right.
John Reynolds, president of the IFA's research arm, expected growth in franchising output and unemployment to continue for the next several years. Where should you start if you're new to franchising? Aspiring franchisees need to think more like investors than entrepreneurs to thoroughly vet any opportunity before buying, franchise experts say.
Right.
The franchising industry represents that franchising is a safe and secure path to business ownership, says Robert Pervin, Jr., head of trade group American Association of Franchisees and Dealers, and the author of Franchise Fraud, How to Protect Yourself Before and After You Invest. In today's marketplace, franchising is almost never business ownership. It is very often not a safe and secure path. So I guess he's saying, you know, like what we always say, it's not always a definite that you're going to be successful in franchising. You got to make sure you're with the right system, do your diligence, find the right fit for yourself.
Sure, find the right location. You know, I mean, all these things are very,
right,
very important, you know. So, yeah, I mean, there's no 100% guarantee that any of this is going to work. You know, there's a lot of different variables involved. You know, when a franchise does fail, Don, you know, you kind of look at it, you say, why did it fail? It's for the reasons that you simply mentioned, you know, is
right,
did you have the right location? Maybe just franchising wasn't for you. Maybe you didn't follow the system, you know.
Right.
So that's always the first question I think that you and I kind of ask, you know, someone if they're interested in buying a franchise, is do you actually know what franchising is? You know, because believe it or not, there's lots of people that just don't get it, what it's,
right,
what it's all about, you know. And so I think that's one of the very first questions is to just understand what franchising actually is.
I mean, the next sentence, he explains that buying a franchise means buying a license to operate someone else's business for the period of the contract.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on to say prospective franchisees should first check whether a system has an independent franchisee association that the company recognizes. These organizations let franchisees share information and negotiating power and legal resources. If the franchisor doesn't recognize an independent association, Pervin says buyers should keep looking. Although state governments and the Federal Trade Commission require franchisors to disclose information about their offerings, franchisors do not have to register with any federal agency the way publicly traded companies must with the Securities and Exchange Commission.
Right.
You can get disclosure documents from franchisors after you express interest and get initial approval, and that, of course, is the UFOC, now called the FDD. They changed the name on it.
That's correct, yeah. And we're actually going to have, I don't even think I mentioned this to you, towards the end of, I think it's April, Nancy Lenard is going to come back on the show, and she's going to talk about some of these changes going on with the UFOC, now called the FDD. You know,
right.
So it just sounds like the biggest change is there's more information with the FDD compared to the UFOC, I guess. You know, we'll have to talk to Nancy more about that.
Right. A few more interesting sentences in this article. Disclosure documents also must contain information on other franchisees, including those who have left the system. Talking to these franchisees is an essential part of due diligence, says Tom Pitigoff, a franchise attorney in White Plains, New York. If you talk to nobody else, talk to the ones who left the system and find out why. It's a very good point.
Sure, yeah. Once again, you're going to have to do your due diligence there. You know, you're going to have to sometimes track these people down, you know, and that's going to,
right,
take a lot of work as well. So, you know, this is all, everything we've mentioned, you know, up to this point. I mean, it's all a lot of work. It's very, very serious.
And people who left the system, it can simply be something like retirement. So it's good to do your homework.
Could be a lot of reasons why, too, Don. You know, a lot of people don't ask. They just assume that, you know, it didn't work, and why didn't it work? Well, it could have been a lot of things. Well, maybe if the person got sick, you know,
yeah,
who knows, you,
right,
know? I mean, it could have been a death. I mean,
yeah,
you just don't know these things, you know. So this is where, you know, research
right,
certainly comes in handy. So it's kind of a more harsh article, I guess, we've read on the show on franchising, you know, but I think it's good to, you know, look at both sides of the coin, you know, and kind of address these different things. But
next section says, look at the bottom line. You should also make sure that the company you're buying into is financially strong and able to sustain its growth. The franchisor's financial statements must be in the offering documents, and Pitigoff says you should get an accountant to review them. We're always very pro
sure,
services, you know, hiring professionals. Choosing an established franchise like McDonald's can reduce your risk, though it will cost more than an unproven one. But don't mistake a brand name for a sound investment. Prominent brands falter sometimes because they expand too quickly. So that's all part of the due diligence. You should hire a lawyer who specializes in franchising to help you steer clear of a bad investment or a harmful contract, according to Les Stewart,
right,
franchise consultant, an industry watchdog who once lost his personal savings on a failed lawn care franchise.
Hmm.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
Aspiring franchisees should expect to take 6 months to vet the opportunity and to spend 5 to 10% of their investment on legal fees, Stewart says. If you're not, then you're unnecessarily gambling.
I totally agree with that. You know, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think it's so important to not just hire an attorney, but a franchise attorney, you know, and even when you're talking about an accountant, you know, I guess you don't have to be a franchise accountant, but,
right,
you know, somebody who knows how to explain the financial information. You know, I think that is so important.
And the article just finishes up just saying get things in writing. If promises are made, just make sure it's in writing for protection, and that's where an attorney comes in too.
Absolutely. And an attorney is a must, you know. Sounds like this gentleman listens to our show, who wrote the article. But
yeah,
that's good. Okay. Well, anyway, we got a great show today, Don. We're meeting with Chad Kunkel and Chris DeMarchi, owners to the franchise Fish Window Cleaning. And since 1978, they've been around a while, Fish Window Cleaning has made keeping these windows clean. Fish Window Cleaning is now the world's largest window cleaning company. I was unaware of that. And we'll always treat every customer as though they're their only customer. I like that business philosophy. I think that's very important. And Fish provides service to more than 100,000 commercial and residential customers nationwide. So we're happy to welcome Chad and Chris to the show today. Hey, Chad and Chris, good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good morning. Good. Doing good.
Good.
How are you?
Good, thanks. Chad and Chris, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson. And Don has actually had the pleasure of meeting both you guys. I think it was in California, wasn't it, Don?
Yeah. Hey, guys. Appreciate you coming on the show. It was kind of tough leaving Orlando, that nice 70-degree and, you know, sunny weather. That was pretty nice, huh, for a few days?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we had to go back to sunny Southern California.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
There you go. That's a tough life, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Well, it sounds like you guys answered my first question. I was going to ask, you know, where are you guys calling from today?
Anaheim, California.
Ah, nice.
County.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And Chad and Chris, I guess, you know, it could be in either order. What were you guys doing before coming together and joining Fish Window Cleaning franchise opportunity?
We actually both worked for the same company. So,
you did? Oh, interesting.
We both worked for Enterprise Rent-A-Car.
Oh, okay.
And we were in management and sales with them.
Oh, wow.
And you know, I don't know if you guys know much about that company, but, you know, very good company for learning about business, learning how to run an operation. So we learned a lot
right,
working for them that we were able to apply here.
That's interesting.
So just coincidence, I mean, them being a franchise, you know, you wanted to go into franchising, or just so happens Fish was a franchise too?
No, Enterprise Rent-A-Car is not a franchise.
Yeah, okay.
No,
yeah,
they're,
sure
they're,
about
just,
that,
they're
yeah,
independently owned, privately held.
Right.
But yeah, we both work for them, and even though Chad and I never worked together at Enterprise,
right,
we knew of each other, and we, you know, we knew that both had good numbers, good sales, go-getters, and so that's what kind of brought us together.
Right,
was the fact that we both had the same goals.
Right,
and we just figured, you know, it was a good time to apply our skills and, you know, put money in our own pockets.
Yeah,
that's
one thing about Enterprise is when you're in management, you know all the numbers. I mean, you're
right,
seeing how much each branch location is making in profit for the company in each region, and you know, you see all those numbers month after month, and you're like, man, I wish I was doing this for myself.
I can only imagine. Yeah, they are an excellent company. I've had a friend who actually worked for them, and
uh-huh,
he spoke very highly of the training program at Enterprise. And I just, funny, it's just returned my car to Enterprise a couple days ago.
I rent
the car from them.
You know, people ask us quite a bit, because we're fairly young as far as franchise owners. We're 36,
right,
and Chad's 32.
Right.
And people often ask us, you know, do you wish you started this, you know, when you were 22?
Right.
And the simple fact is, the answer is no, because, you know, I think it takes a little bit of level of maturity to run a business, a little bit of managing stress, obviously, and what Enterprise taught us on
right,
how to run a business was pretty invaluable on what we apply to Fish Window Cleaning.
That's interesting.
Yeah, we wish we had those years under our belt in the business, but
right,
at the same time, we know we wouldn't be as effective as we are.
Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah, it's not like it was the right time, because you're right, that is so important to build up that experience. Myself being in financing, I have people in their mid-20s calling, trying to get a loan, and lenders aren't comfortable. They just simply haven't had that track record with experience in working out there.
Right, and then, you know, Fish, window cleaning, offering you a business-in-a-box solution, and you now can apply all those business skills. It just makes the two come together very nicely, and it's hard to fail. You know?
So it's interesting that you chose a partnership. A lot of times people don't want to go that route, but you probably had a game plan. I know with partnerships you can just grow the company much bigger and quicker.
You can, and, Chad said it a couple months ago when we were talking, you know, we have to treat the partnership like a marriage, you know, because
right,
if you treat it any other way, if you don't have the same goals, if you don't have long-term goals, it's just not going to work,
you know, and
we have a lot of partnerships call us and say, how are you doing it, you know, and the simple thing is we, you know, you have to work at it, but you keep the same goals in mind.
That's interesting.
You know, because partnerships fail, and, you know, that was obviously a concern of ours when we first, you know, paired up, like, hey, are we going to be able to do this together?
Right, right.
And, you know, knock on wood, it's been awesome, and I think we've gotten through the tough times. I think, we have the same goals and the same ideas and the same outlooks and the same philosophy on servicing customers, collecting ARs, dealing with people, you know, so it really makes it easy.
I was pretty impressed how quickly you guys became top franchisees in the whole Fish Window system. I guess it was this organization and you guys knowing right from the start what your goals were and everything. I guess helped of course lead.
Yeah,
that.
And we from the beginning we've had a pretty clear goals laid out and our individual job descriptions within the company have been pretty clearly defined and. We're both doing what we're supposed to be doing. And when we started the business, we didn't leave ourselves kind of an out. You know, we weren't kind of moonlighting at our old jobs or kind of keeping consulting deals or, kind of hedging our bets. We jumped in both feet, head first and said, we got to make this happen and we got to make it happen quick because we have families to provide for.
There's a lot of motivation there, yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, talk about, guys, the history of Fish Window Cleaning.
Well, been around since 1978. Mike Merrick is the founder of the company, and he started his own window cleaning company in 1978. He was previously in the banking industry. And he operated just as a sole proprietor of the Fish Window Cleaning in St. Louis for... what, about 20 years, I guess?
Yeah,
and it's
close to.
Been franchising now for right at 10 years. And there are, I believe, about 165 franchises now across the country.
With
wow.
about 220
That's
locations.
That's something. I like this philosophy, too, guys. I was reading about Mike. He says he made each customer feel as though they were the only customer, you know, and I thought that was just an interesting philosophy. And you guys actually had it on your website. I don't know if you saw this, Don. It was interesting. They call it, was it Fish Philosophies, guys?
Yeah, they play off the fish words there quite a bit.
That's very. I thought it was very clever, yeah. That was, but it's just great to...
Yeah, the nice thing is, when we first looked at the fish window cleaning, and looked at multiple businesses to go into, we kind of kept pushing fish aside.
Right.
Because we were like, well, wait a minute, we're college graduates, it's window cleaning, what are we doing here,
Right.
But we had a pretty clear-cut goal and understanding of what type of business that we wanted to get into.
Yeah. We had a list of criteria that we wanted to see, a business meet as many as possible.
Right.
And this kept getting pushed away because, it's not glamorous. It's, it seems like pretty much anybody could do this.
Right.
But they've kind of created a nice little niche because a lot of your competition isn't running a professional quality business like you are.
Right.
So you're a step above.
And really no business is simple, but it just seems like it's, for the most part, kind of a simple business when you think about it. with so much emphasis on service, of course, being the, you know, the big thing. But I guess that was another, you know, big reason why you chose it, the, you know, the simpleness of...
Exactly. Yeah. One of our criteria was a simple idea. You know, another one was residual income. You make the sale one time, and you can get multiple services on it.
Right.
That was big for us. And then, you know, you cold call a sub shop, and they go with you once a month, and then they end up opening another location a year later, and you get that location. You know, it just kind of grows on itself, the residual income, the simple idea, no nights and weekends.
Right.
That's very attractive, yeah.
You know.
We wanted something also that wasn't, you know, it's not a medical practice where the business is dependent on the doctor, you know.
Right.
Something that's not dependent on our specific skills to go on, something that we could, if we wanted to, down the road, step away from and have somebody run and, you know, be able to train somebody to operate it efficiently and properly. You know, so it just met, and something that technology and the internet couldn't wipe out, you know.
That was big for us.
Yeah.
Right, absolutely.
You know, and...
You don't want to sink, you know, your life savings into a business and then, you know, something develops on the internet where nobody needs it anymore, you know, like a travel agent maybe or something like that. You know, technology changes so quickly, it's, you know, sometimes it's a little bit difficult to keep up.
So it seems like, guys, Fish Window met a lot of your personal criteria you're looking for in a franchise and business startup. But what was it that impressed you about Fish Window and their system?
You know, when we went to our discovery day with Fish, that was very impressive to me because the Fish family is truly that. Like, they're bringing you into their family, and they care about you and what you're trying to do, and they will go leaps and bounds above and beyond to make sure that your business succeeds.
Right.
I mean, Mike personally, gets upset and angry when franchises, you know, are not following the plan and doing well, because it's all laid out there for you to just go grab it. Just don't make excuses and go get it.
Right.
That's interesting. It sounds like your annual meetings too, guys. I was reading somewhere that it sounds like it's more like a family reunion, so you could say, you know.
It is. They're fantastic.
It is great. I mean, with 165 franchises, we don't intimately know every franchisee, but. It is. It's great. You know, we look forward to seeing, oh, man, we're going to see the Pierces. We're going to see Randy Cross. We're going to see, you know, we know all these franchises that over the last 5 years we've developed good friendships with. And, you know, there's a camaraderie and a, you know, kind of a family feeling there because everyone's in the same boat, you know.
That's fantastic.
Trying to build the brand together and make, you know, brand recognition and you know, make the... Because you know, the better our brand. Obviously, we want each of our individual businesses to be as good as possible. But
sure.
We kind of all feel like we're building the brand together and building name recognition across the country, so that you know our business is more powerful.
That's interesting.
That's a great atmosphere to have something like that. Family atmosphere.
So
you know, everyone's in it together. You're growing the company. Because I mean, what's the, you know, well, I guess we'll talk about this soon. But just the potential of Fish itself on. How many additional franchisees can have around the country for this type of service? Because this is something, you know, people simply don't want to do.
No,
right, exactly.
No.
Exactly. And when we were, you know, when we got into it, we were the third franchise in California.
Yeah.
And now I think they just signed number 25.
So that didn't worry you. I mean, that was a little bit of a risk right there. Only a couple other in California. I guess you saw other franchisees in other states successful. That didn't worry you as much?
No, I mean, the prospect of opening, you know, a window cleaning business in Orange County, California, you know, it was very exciting to us. I mean, if you're going to open, a business that services, you know, other businesses and homes that are, you know, a little bit, you know, a lot of the businesses are higher line businesses. They want to keep their stores looking nice, have
sure.
a good reputation
right.
with the customers, you know, and homes out here, you have your good and bad areas, but there's a lot of beautiful homes out here and,
right.
you know, homes that are 2 and 3 story that people just can't do on their own even if they wanted to,
right.
you know, because of the size and stuff. So the territory that we purchased, we also felt really fit the mold of having a successful business out here. So
wow.
That is interesting. I was just thinking as you guys were talking, you know, it's like we have a skylight in our home, and there's a spot on it I still have not yet cleaned because I just can't get to it, you know, so it's just...
Well, Marty, did you hear him? Their territory is Southern California.
There you go.
We have fish people all over.
Absolutely. Just, you think of the market potential, though, and it's just, it's really incredible, you know.
Well, and that's just, you know, that's it. That spot, it's, you know, you could call us out and we can come clean it. And the thing is the windows get dirty again a month later, a quarter later.
Right.
It really is very exciting. And in the backgrounds, too, Chad and Chris, it sounds like, you know, from the other franchisees that you guys get to meet, I've reading that some of them are assistant professors and stockbrokers. One was a vice president of marketing for Cracker Barrel. I mean, these are people with very diverse backgrounds. You know, it's not somebody
right.
who just wanted to get into window cleaning.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, the amount of people that had any kind of experience in the industry of window cleaning, I don't know that there's any. I mean, a lot of these people, they're just coming from, like for us, we were just tired of the grind, you know, working 60,
right.
65 hours a week, not being able to spend time with family. You know, Chris, you know, He had a daughter that he never got to see, and I had already told my wife that if I'm working this much, I don't want to have kids.
Sure.
You know, and now I have three.
And that was very common at Enterprise. You know, I know from, you know, my friend working for the company, I mean, you guys put some heavy hours into that company, you know.
Heavy.
It's,
heavy hours. And
that's what I understand, you know, on weekends and so it's tough to have a family life working for Enterprise, which is why I think they hire a lot younger people. I notice anyway.
Right. And, you know, the dream is, you know, you move up in the company, and I was a district manager overseeing several offices, and I was still putting in the same hours.
I imagine.
And it was like, come on, you know, I was leaving before my daughter got up, and I was getting home when she was going to bed.
Exactly.
And that wasn't what I visualized as being a parent was all about.
Sure, absolutely.
So that was a big reason for, okay, where can we apply our talents elsewhere?
That's one of the big things, you know, with us. You know, we feel like we have a successful business. We're continuing to grow. But our quality of life, whether or not we're making more money, which we are, our quality of life is far and above, you know, what we could have had working, you know, for Enterprise or most other companies for that matter.
That's great. And I think that's why the founders, Mike, started the company as well, too, right? I mean, I guess his background was in banking, you know, and he just saw this niche in the market, you know, and I guess his life changed significantly after getting into this whole thing, you know, so.
Well, you guys did it correctly. It was all very well thought out.
Right.
Thinking of things like, hey, I would like to just work during the week and have the weekends off, and I'd have to work into the nighttime, because you're right, in the corporate world, coming out of college, I was in the hotel industry. I was working all the time. It was crazy. You start thinking about down the line, you know, what I want to be doing 20 years from now. And usually, the American dream is kind of controlling your own destiny, and that's what you guys are doing.
Right. Working in the hotel industry, you were probably working nights and weekends and
right.
everything else. Where
birthdays, holidays, it was.
You know, our first 2 years, we pretty much got in the office about 6:30 in the morning. We were out by 9. And we were out cold calling, street bidding every day for roughly, 3 to 4 hours a day.
Right.
We would do that for the first 2 years until we grew our business. And then we started backing down our hours a little bit more. And now our schedule is 6:30 in the morning till roughly we start heading home around 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's fantastic.
See, and this is exactly why I wanted to have you guys on the show, and I met you down in Orlando for people listening.
Right.
Because Marty and I are always talking about investing in a franchise. You got to do your homework, but it's hard work.
Oh,
and you got to put in the time. And
you have to.
Yeah.
You have to. And then the rewards come later, because now it's 5 years later, and we work Monday through Thursday till 2 o'clock, and then Fridays. We come in till about 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning. We just come in for a couple hours just to make sure next week's all lined up, and then we're done. We go home. We're off.
Anybody can do it. You just have to have the passion. You got to work hard,
right.
Follow the system, and now look at the position you guys are in.
Right. And you said it as simple as it is. You
right.
follow the system that they put in place as a franchise, and the rewards will come later. But you have to bear down. You can't make any excuses early on.
Right.
Put your back against the wall and make it happen.
Absolutely.
And then just a quick question. I'm interested. How did you hear about Fish Window? Marty and I would be down at the International Franchise Show in D.C. and with the internet and magazines and everything on how to investigate a franchise. How did you guys find out about Fish?
Originally, it was through looking on the internet, finding Franchoice.
Right.
And Franchoice gave us some recommendations, and we looked at hundreds of different businesses, whether it was a franchise or buying an existing or starting our own or anything else.
Right.
And when Franchoice brought Fish to us, it sat there for a couple months on the side of the desk.
Right, kept going back to it. Franchoice, one of the leading franchise consulting companies. We're very high on people utilizing franchise consultants. It seems like that worked for you guys.
Well, they pretty much break down what kind of person you are, what kind of activities you're interested in. Are you good at sales? Are you not good at sales? What kind of environments are you comfortable in?
Right.
And that helped narrow the business search down and made it an easier choice for Fish.
Right. And I think there's, when you talk about franchises, obviously you have a business in a box. Why would you fail? I think, Fish window cleaning franchises that have not been successful have been those franchisees that, they didn't do good at sales. They didn't like sales. They didn't like some important aspects of the business
right.
that would make them successful. And I think you have to match yourself up with a business. That kind of person, maybe they'd be great at running a McDonald's, because all
right.
you do is open your doors, and then you take care of the customer. Well, we have to go get our customers. They don't come to us. So you have to look at the kind of business that you're opening and really be true to yourself and know, hey, am I going to be okay, out pounding the pavement and, drumming up business,
Absolutely.
Is this a franchise where you can be successful without having sales experience, detail?
The answer to that, I believe, is no. I think you need to have some. We have a lot of people call us and ask us that question that are interested in buying the franchise.
Right.
Well, can I hire a sales guy? Well, you can, but that really eats into your bottom line early.
Right, right.
Really. I mean, yes, you can hire a sales guy, but, the three things that make it successful are sales, customer service, being able to deal and handle customer service issues, and employee retention or controlling
right.
your employees, whether it's an office manager or a sales guy. You have to be able to, if it's your sales guy and you don't know how to do sales, well, how are
yeah.
you going to teach or train or talk to your sales guy?
Right. I mean, I would say you have to have an aptitude for sales. I wouldn't say you have to have experience in sales because, really, it's an easy sell.
Right.
Sounds like it, right.
It's, hey, everyone needs their windows cleaned. You're either going to do it or you're going to have somebody else do it.
Right.
Just be comfortable with people, which
yeah,
sometimes
right.
people
just
aren't.
As that.
Okay.
So it's
right.
not like you have to be smooth-talking, salesperson. You just have to be willing to go out and do it. And just... there are just people out there that aren't comfortable with that.
Sure.
They don't want to have the rejection. They don't want to
have
the, why did you just walk into my store? Who are you? and people that can't kind of separate, hey, I'm not, this rejection here doesn't identify who I am. I'm just selling a product here, either you need it or you don't, or maybe you have somebody else providing that service for you that you're happy with.
Right.
But there's a lot of people that kind of take that on personally on themselves, and then that gets very grinding.
It just reminds me, Marty, of Warren Gresham. This is the perfect business where it's really a numbers game. Warren Gresham is a top salesman, motivational speaker, guys. You should maybe
right.
go back and listen to a prior show, an archive we did, someone who started in the New York Garment District at a young age, was managing a whole bunch of stuff, but he's written a book called The Best Damn Sales Book Ever is the title, right, Marty?
It is, yeah. It's a fantastic book for people who don't have a background in sales or, who want to go. He basically says anyone can be a successful salesperson. It is a numbers game, like you were saying.
And that's true. Absolutely.
Like that person who you went into the store and got rejection, and that person may be
that's
unhappy taking
right.
it personal, but, hey, I'm sure you hand the brochure, and they keep it, and maybe a few months later, something, I think I do need that service. So
yeah,
that sale might work out, but yeah, you just got to get out there. It's a numbers game.
Well, and we've had managers at stores that have been just rude, and you
right.
walk out and you're like, man, why do people have to be like that?
Right.
And then months later, we get a call and hey, I found your business card or your brochure. I'm a new manager here. I don't know if we've used you in the past, but we do need our windows cleaned, and you're like, ha, you know, that's the ultimate revenge, you know?
That's fantastic.
And that's part of what you're investing with the franchise system, getting that marketing and advertising program, having all the right, you know, materials and, you know, printed sales.
It really allows you to hit the ground running, you
right.
know? I mean, like you said, if there is a simple business, this is a pretty simple business, you know? But they provide you with the software that you need to run your business properly, all the brochures, the forms, you know, everything is kind of right there for you, so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's right there.
Right.
And you know, I think that's another reason why some people aren't successful with franchises is they're trying to reinvent the wheel. Well, if they wanted to do that, then they should have just opened a business on their own. You know, you either decide that the franchise that you're looking at is a good product and it will be effective and you're going to use it, or you don't and you go on your own. But you don't buy a franchise and then try and redo their system, you
right.
know, because then what's the point?
Very well said.
Sure, absolutely. One of the questions we like to ask is, either one can go first, is what's the most interesting thing that's happened to you since becoming a fish window cleaning franchisee, Chatter Chris?
Oh, man.
That's a tough question.
Did a shop owner ever throw anything at you if they weren't interested in the service?
You always get good responses to that question, by the way.
Well, I don't know. I think the one that just kind of jumped out at me was, and it just kind of goes along with the whole employee screening and that type of thing. I mean, we had a couple years ago, we're looking to hire kind of a lead window cleaner, somebody that we could work into an operations manager position. And this guy came in, and he was, oh, man, he had all the right verbiage, you know. He talked the talk, and it
right.
really sounded like he had been in the industry for a long time. And, you know, we're like, man, we really stumbled upon a gem here, you know. the next deal is we're going to meet him out on a job the next morning. Just, hey, let's take a look at your work, see how you clean windows, and then you'll be off and running, because I'm sure you've got years of experience. This guy said he had like 10 years of experience, and he had all this
and his application
on his resume and all these companies, and everything sounded so great. Well, he gets up to, well, first of all, he looked like when he was putting on his equipment, you know, this bucket on a belt and, you know, mops and squeegees and things like that. You know, he's kind of flipping it over and kind of looking at it like, what am I supposed to do with this? And we're like, huh, it's a little weird, you know. And you know, if you've seen, you know, there's kind of a swirling, you know, technique.
Right,
like,
right.
You can clean the whole piece of glass without lifting the squeegee. And,
right.
Oh, man, this guy was a mess.
Oh, jeez.
Did he think
somebody clearly had never cleaned a window in his life, you know? And we're like,
that's funny.
Did he look around, see if anybody... you know, it was videotaping.
It would have been great.
I wish we had.
Yeah, it could have been a lot of money on that one.
It would have been great. And, you know, here, I'm trying to be the cool guy saying, hey, man, look, it's okay. It's okay.
Right.
We'll teach you.
Right.
But at this point,
just be honest with us.
He was, yeah, just be honest with us, you know.
Right.
And
exactly.
At this point, he was so embarrassed.
And so flustered.
So funny.
That next thing I know, he's got his equipment laying by one of our trucks, and he's driving off in his car.
Oh, my God. That's
we kind of went around the corner,
you.
Came back, and he was gone.
Oh,
never to
so
be
funny.
heard or seen from again. So.
You didn't think of getting your franchise fees back after that, did you?
Yeah, we've had some crazy stuff.
That's
definitely
great.
A good moment, though.
Yeah.
That's great.
And how's training, guys? Talk about that a little bit for new franchisees.
Training is good, and again, being part of the franchise helps out. In fact, they just came out with a new training program where you can literally sit down a guy who has zero experience and sit him in front of a computer for 8 half-hour sessions to watch and take tests, and really by the end of it, and maybe a few hours on glass, they could be cleaning windows.
But you guys talking about our training for the franchise system, or
well, through corporate, you know, what you guys went through training.
Yeah,
oh,
training is 2 weeks back in St. Louis at the corporate headquarters,
right.
And they give you a pre-opening checklist, you know, all the stuff that you need to get handled and get done, get your corporation set up, get your office, do this, do that. Everything, you know, should be pretty much lined up by the time you go to your training, and then you have 2 weeks out in St. Louis where you learn You learn the computer program, the software, learn how to, you know, do sales. They take you out and you cold call and do some sales in the area there that you're in. They do show you some hands-on window cleaning. Obviously, they don't want the owners to be doing a lot of window cleaning, but in order to train and in order to be able to pick up jobs, if you know, or even go fix complaints and things like that, you know, obviously we need a good understanding of the job process itself. And so
right.
There's pretty much everything from A to Z, and they really pack a lot in the 2 weeks. You know, when we left, we're thinking 2 whole weeks, you know, for
right.
window
right,
cleaning,
right.
you know. But man, it was good. And you know, it could have been longer, you know, because they really were trying to, you know, hurry up some topics and, you know, speed through some things because they're really trying to get you well equipped by the time you hit your territory.
Right.
But the day we came back, we were comfortable and ready. I mean, we came back the next day, we opened up our office and made our first sale in the morning.
That's fantastic.
And then they sent somebody out. We had 1 week in between when we got back from St. Louis and then our technical grand opening, and they actually sent a district manager out to our territory to spend, I think it was, you know, 3 or 4 days in our territory, make sure, you know, we're up to speed, you know, going out and doing some sales, kind of helping get a head start on landing some accounts and answering any questions in the office and how to set things up. And
yeah, you know, that guy didn't warn you about the fraud of somebody applying for a job.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it time and time again, but that was just the most significant. We do wish we had that on tape, though.
Yeah. How much does Fish help as far as national accounts, you know, bringing business to you guys? Is that something that they assist with?
Yes. There's a national sales program as far as, you know, Fish corporate office going directly to companies and trying to land accounts, chain stores, regional and national accounts, things like that.
I mean, imagine that was a nice selling point, too, on why you invested with Fish.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it's a kind of a two-part, it's kind of a twofold thing. We have companies that we go after directly, and then there are also companies that employ the services of a national maintenance company.
Right.
So you have a national chain store like a Pottery Barn, Williams-Sonoma, Pacific Sunware, whatever it might be. And they use a company like Coast to Coast Maintenance or NAS. That handles all of their maintenance for their stores across the country. And they just sub out these different services in different areas. And signing on with Fish, you know, we have, you know, 6 or 7 of these national maintenance companies that we're automatically preferred vendors for when you open your doors.
Right.
So that doesn't mean that right when you open your doors you're going to get all this business, because obviously somebody is servicing these stores currently. But it puts you in a good position. You're acquainted with them. They know automatically when you open your doors, hey, you're fully licensed, bonded, and insured.
Right.
And you know, good training, and you're running a professional business just by the fact that you're operating a Fish window cleaning. So the screening process is much simpler. And then when there is an opportunity, new stores open, or, you know, the current company drops the ball, you know, then we got a chance to get the call on that. And we have a lot of business in our territory through the national maintenance companies. So.
Yeah, I mean, just one company alone for the month of April just faxed us their work orders, and we just have over 400 work orders for the month of April out of one national maintenance company.
Nice.
Something.
So it can really make a difference. And then, you know, yesterday we landed all the Crate and Barrels here in Southern California, which is big.
Wow,
you
a
know.
Big account.
And that was with assistance from the corporate office, from Fish Window Cleaning Headquarters.
That's fantastic. It's nice to get those phone calls.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, just a quick question about insurance. I imagine, you know, this is not, you know, workers always being on the ground floor. I mean, they have to go up. I mean, is that a pretty big expense, insurance, being that sometimes your workers have to climb ladders and steps and everything?
That's definitely a factor. We don't run into the really high code for the workers' comp is in the high rise. We're three story and below, so
yeah.
We don't do anything from the roof down. We do everything from the ground up. Right. So that helps a little bit there. But and this will vary across the country. California is one of the more expensive, but like for us currently right now, as a percentage of payroll, we're paying 13.5% for workers' comp.
Okay.
You know, which is
quite a bit
more.
In other states, there are several other states that are 3, 4, 5%.
Right.
So, you know, you factor those things into your pricing and you maintain your profitability. So.
Your typical day at Fish Window, I mean, you guys are big franchisees. I imagine you have a pretty set system.
Yeah, if anything, we definitely are very structured and organized, mm-hmm. more so than most, but that's part of our success.
Yeah.
We come in the mornings between 6 and 6:30. Our guys start arriving between 6:30 and 7. And basically, I start the check-in process. So the guys hand me their work from the previous day.
Yeah.
I check them all in on our on the Fish system, on the computer system. And Chad hands out routes. So, you know, here you go, Tom. You're going to be in Newport Beach today. See you later. You know, maybe he'll go over a couple special jobs. Or, hey, you're going to be, you know, in Costa Mesa today, and you have, you know, the mall and then a house in the afternoon, or,
right.
you know, whatever it may be. And then the guys usually are out of here by between 7 and 7:45 at the latest. Sometimes we're going over stuff or they're doing something with their equipment or changing out, whatever. But they're all usually gone by 7:45 at the latest. And then we don't see any of our guys until the next day. Sometimes we'll give them 2 days' worth of work.
Right.
So then it right about then is when Chad and I, we each go to our desks. He handles like payroll, accounting. I do proposals, pictures. We each kind of have our separate duties that we do together, and then we kind of each have our, like he does QuickBooks. I don't touch QuickBooks unless he's on vacation.
Yeah.
So we each kind of have our own niche that we do. And then we work together on other stuff like, oh, okay, are you done with your stuff? Hey, can you enter these two jobs or whatever?
We'll work on a proposal pricing on a big job together.
Right.
And, you know, that kind of thing.
Our typical day, though, starts with we trade off once a week. I pick him up and we carpool in together. And then the other week he picks me up and we carpool in together. We spend every day together.
And these partners are better than us, Marty, you know?
Yeah, they are.
I will jealous of your partnership there.
We drive in.
We have a lot of time carpooling together,
yeah.
So that's one of the...
And when we're in the car, we're talking business usually or talking about proposals or things like that. And then we always usually, we try to get out of here by about 10 to 10:30 in the morning. And then we go out, usually do a few estimates.
Yeah.
And then we always eat a nice lunch together. We always sit down at, like, a Red Robin or, you know, a place like that.
Right, right.
We always eat lunch together. We usually talk business or, you know, sports or what was on TV the night before, you know. And
that's what you need in a successful partnership, that communication.
Exactly.
So you got to keep going.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's been a big thing is, you know, you say, well, God, you know, how can you spend that much time with, you know, you're spending so much time together. And we are, and sometimes, you know, it's like, especially when we come back from like a convention or something, it's like, dude, I've seen you every day all day for
right.
the last like 14 days, you know, it's great.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, so you go through those times where you're like, man, you know, I just need some, you know, alone time or whatever, but having, you know, being together, you know, being able to talk through anything that's going on,
right.
you know, in the day and really helps you to be on the same page. You know, you talk through, you have time to talk through any disagreements that you might have or how you might handle a proposal or an estimate or a problem on a job. You get on the same page, and then when it's time to deal with that issue, you're both on the same page and there's no stepping on toes and, you know, that type of thing. So.
Business, you can never be satisfied. You can never just reach a comfort level, and there's always room for improvement and doing bigger and better things and growth. So
right.
yeah.
I'm sure that's what you're talking about a lot.
You know, when we first started, we had a laptop with a you know, a wireless internet connection, and if he was driving, the office phones were forwarded to my cell phone, and I had the laptop on my lap. I'm entering jobs. I'm mapping us to the next cold call location we're going to.
Yeah.
You know, we had cleaning equipment in the back. We were doing it all, you know. And when I was driving, he was doing everything because we wanted a live voice, getting a live voice. And you know, since then we've grown into 2 office staff, 2 sales guys, Chad and I, and 10 window cleaners.
Wow,
it's fantastic!
Nice,
great story. Yeah. Chad and Chris, we have about 30 seconds. What's the best way for someone to get more information on your services, your franchise, or franchise information on Fish Window?
The fishwindowcleaning.com is the website for the franchise itself.
That's a great website, by the way, too.
Yeah,
very nice.
There's information there on how to find your local Fish Window Cleaning office service, and there's also information there if you're interested in purchasing a franchise territory.
Okay, good. And you guys want to give out your number, too, as well?
Yeah, 714-632-7510.
And I want to thank you guys again. You guys have been fantastic. I think this was one of my favorite interviews, huh, Don? We've had a lot of big, you know, names on the show, so you guys are fantastic. And,
well, awesome. You guys got a great program running. We're excited to be invited on it.
Thanks, guys. Thank you so much. And we're going to have you back in another 6 months or so and just watch you guys continue to grow.
Let us know anytime.
Thanks, Chad and Chris.
Great job.
Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah.
I mean, just this was one of my favorite shows. You know, I mean, having 2 franchisees and I mean, just, you know, getting into the whole partnership thing, and they really understand what franchising is all about. You know.
Yeah, that's why when I met them down in Orlando, I was just very impressed. I knew it would be an interesting show because it's just interesting seeing how people go about choosing the franchise, their due diligence, starting out, going through training, and look at the nice team they make and how their business is growing, and they're following the system. They had the right attitude and the passion and the work ethic to go out and make this work. And now, what is this, their 5th year, I think they were saying?
I think it is, yeah. I mean, it's just, and I think they definitely chose the right franchise, didn't they? I mean, it just seems like a perfect match for them, doesn't it?
They went through the franchise consulting company where that makes them think about all these questions you might not think of if you're just looking for a franchise investment on your own.
Exactly. You know, I mean, look at, it's the quality of life that they have now, you know, and I think, you know, family is important to, you know, both of these gentlemen, you know, so, and it sounds like they have a great time, you know, working together as well, you know, which is just so important, you know. So I just thought it was a fantastic show. This was definitely one of my favorites. You know, we've been doing the show now. God, this is probably like our 70th show up to this point, you know. So it's just really
great
show.
Same here.
Hard
work. We're going to continue doing well.
Absolutely. These guys are going to be very successful, you know, so we'll have to, you know, keep a close eye on them and watch their success and have them back in another 6 months, you know.
Right. Definitely.
But great show, Don. And again, next week we have, who's up next week?
Glenn Franson, Massage Heights.
That's right. You know, that should be another interesting show, you know. So, and go to franchiseinterviews.com, subscribe to our newsletter if you're listening to for the first time. And what else, Don? What are the websites?
Well, there's gofranchise.com.
There you go. It's a great website.
Get pre-qualified for financing, learn your loan potential. You can go to franchisefunding.net.
Another great one. So great job, Don, and I'll see you next week.
Take care, Marty.
Take care, Don.
Bye-bye.